Let's take our Bibles this morning and go to the book of Proverbs and chapter number 9. The book of Proverbs and chapter number 9. Thank the Lord. Lord's been good. How many have had a good week? The Lord was good to you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord for his blessings each day, each week. You know, those blessings are there if we have eyes to see them. Amen. They're there. And we just have to focus on the blessings of God every day in our life and the goodness of God. Amen. Well, chapter 9 is a subject about wisdom and wisdom as a builder. And so our lesson today is entitled that, Wisdom as a Builder. And so we're going to look at this subject this morning. Proverbs chapter 9, let's begin with verse number 1. Of this passage. We're going to read the first 12 verses today. Notice what the Bible says here. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her 7 pillars. She hath she hath killed her. Could somebody grab me a warm water, please? I can feel something strip it out. I don't want that. I want to get up into fifth gear. I don't want to strip when I'm in second gear, right? All right. Let's start over. How's that sound? Okay. Verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her 7 pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She also hath furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wise man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. Let's pray this morning as we get into the lesson. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the privilege to open the Bible and teach it this morning. Thank you for wisdom and how valuable and important it is in each one of our lives. And thank you, Lord, that wisdom, Lord, is a principle we can apply to our lives to make our lives blessed, to use them to glorify you, which is why we're here on this earth. We're not here just to honor and enjoy ourselves, enjoy our life. We're here to glorify you, God. And I know that's why you made each one of us. So take thy word this morning, we pray. Teach it to us. Open our hearts, open our understanding, and give us a heart that hungers, Lord, for wisdom in our life, as a builder in our life. We pray these things, thanking you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you very much, Matthew. The subject here today is about wisdom as a builder. Now, in previous chapters, wisdom is looked at as a father instructing his son on the principles of life. But Solomon shifts here in chapter 9, and he now gives wisdom as a picture of a woman building her household with hospitality. I thank the Lord so much for ladies who serve the Lord. What a blessing. What a wonderful blessing. I have, on my grandfather's side, there are 13 children. My grandfather's, of course, passed on. He's in heaven. But I'll never forget going to one of the homes of one of his sisters one time and, And that family has, they were very hospitable. And there was just such a peace and a joy, and you wanted to be around them. And I'll never forget how my one of my great aunts would make this meal. She made braised beef one time, and it was just unbelievable. Every sermon gets around to food sooner or later. Amen. And but she made some braised beef. It was wonderful, just tremendous. And boy, she had all the little things there. The little fork, you know, you ever seen the little tiny forks? And she had pickles and you had the tiny little fork. And it was semi-bougie. I like using that word now, amen? And Mrs. Bingham introduced it to me, and so I have to use it every now and then. And so, but boy, she had the table spread. I mean, you could just tell she went. And it's amazing how wonderful and how comforting that feels. But yet, even as family, how enjoyable it is and how it keeps a family close-knit. And, you know, I tell you, families are not close-knit today. And families really need to open their heart to each other better. And become closer knit. Sometimes all we look at is our own selves and our own difficulties. And boy, if a whole family does that, then everybody's pouting on their own. But we got to get past that, amen? We got to be better Christians than that. And, you know, don't think just of ourselves, but think on the needs of others in our home and our family. But I said all that to say that she just made it hospitable. In being there, you just love to be there. She loved to be there. And you know, this is, I think, in some ways the spirit of what Solomon is teaching us in wisdom and how a woman is building her home in wisdom. Now, let me say this. Wisdom is very important for ladies. Wisdom is very important for ladies. Ladies, you know, God gives the spirit of the home is really going to be controlled by the lady. Amen. And ladies, you have a great way or ability to either build up your home or you have an ability to tear down a home also. It's a two-edged sword, isn't it? And so wisdom is this mentality that says, I'm going to build good things into my life. I'm going to build good things into the life of other people. And that's wisdom. Wisdom is not here just for us to enjoy it ourselves. Wisdom is here for us to take it and to use it for the better of other people in our life. Amen? So let's look at some things about wisdom in this passage. Now, I want you to notice, beginning with verse number 1 through verse number 7, we see wisdom, the hospitality of wisdom. Now, notice... In the Bible, notice this passage is interesting in the sense that I want you to notice the semicolons and the colons in the passage of Scripture of how they connect and tie thoughts together. So notice verse 1. It says, wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. Notice there's a colon after that. So what it's saying is it's talking here about how wisdom is building this house. And it goes into verse 2, and it connects this building of the house through wisdom to verse number 2. And notice it says, she hath killed her beasts. Now, that sounds a little morbid, but what it's saying is there's a hospitality involved there in that. This woman is preparing a meal. She is prepared. And that is the first thing about wisdom here that is important to see, and that is wisdom prepares. Wisdom prepares. Can I tell you, there's a lot of wisdom in preparing in your life. Preparing. How many of you want to go home today and sit down at the table and nobody's made anything? That's a bummer. Amen. Nobody's made anything. You're hungry and there's nobody prepared. Nobody went to the store and got the food. Nobody put it together and cooked it. I hate that when that happens, because then you got to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, right? And grab a bucket from the Colonel. And but preparation. Can I tell you, it is important, everything you do, to have preparation involved in it. Preparation is wisdom. It's wisdom. By the way, do you know what salvation is? Salvation is preparation for eternity. Amen. It's preparation for eternity. When a soul dies, if they are not prepared for heaven, then they're going to spend eternity in hell. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah, that's right.
You say, well, I don't believe that. That's not going to make it go away.
Yeah, that's right. That's good.
You say, I don't like that. Nobody does, but it's still the truth. So I'm saying to you today, wisdom is preparing. Salvation is preparation for eternity. And by the way, how we live our life is preparation for eternity, because God will reward us in eternity for our service for Him, for what we do for God. There's rewards involved. So there's preparation involved. Many things in life can be built for good through the wisdom of preparation, preparing. You know, a young person, I believe, needs to prepare their life and prepare their heart for important decisions in life. The teenage years and the early 20s are the years when young people make the most important decisions of their life. They graduate, the friends of life that they choose, the college they go to, who they marry. Those years are very formidable and important, and there ought to be some spiritual preparation in their heart and their mind before they reach those places. Amen? So wisdom is about preparing things. Preparation. There's spiritual preparation. There's physical preparation. Preparation is important. And we need to do that. I was reading about this verse this week, and it's saying that the motivation for wisdom, and the word wisdom here is used in a different light. It's used in the sense of doing what we do for the sake of honor. In other words, wisdom is a principle, if we follow, that it's going to bring honor to us. It's about living in honor. Well, I'll tell you what, we Christians, we need to live these honorable lives. We need to live a life of honor to the Lord. And it will bring us honor from other people when we're serving the Lord, when we are allowing wisdom to take hold in our life. Okay, so let's go to verse 2 again. Wisdom hath killed her beast. And what it's saying is she's preparing a food. She's preparing a meal here. And she hath mingled her wine. Now, let me say, first of all, mainly in the book of Proverbs, wine is talking about grape juice. It's not talking about fermented wine, typically. In fact, the Bible, wine is used in many different instances in the Old Testament and in the New. Wine can be used as fermented grape juice. Wine can be used as unfermented grape juice. And even in the book of Song of Solomon, the word wine is referred to even grapes in the cluster. So how do you know what it's talking about? Well, you know what it's talking about by the context of what it's talking about. And there's another way of knowing is there is the words strong drink also. And there's a delineation between wine and strong drink. So what it's saying is, the strong drink is forbidden, but this wine here is not talking about a fermented wine. Now, it says they mingled her wine. And what is that? What is that talking about? So they had a custom back in Bible days where they would take grape juice and they would put spices in it, and they would They would mix it. They would mingle the spices with the grape juice. And it served as a preservation for the wine, but it also served to flavor the wine, so to speak, and to give the wine a flavor. But it also had some preservative. You know, if you have real grapes and you know, you don't have refrigeration, they didn't have refrigeration, things go bad quickly. And so food had to be prepared that day. And, you know, I often wondered how, I feel bad because they probably didn't have leftovers. Think of it. Well, they probably didn't have any leftovers. I like leftovers, by the way. I feel bad for them. They couldn't have leftovers. There's something about the gravy and the meat mixing all. Okay, we better get off of that one. Heading the wrong way. So wisdom is, and really what it's saying is she's prepared. She's furnishing a table. Listen, I want to say this. Femininity and a woman who builds her home is not a negative characteristic. Amen. The world has this idea that, oh, a housemaker, a woman who raises kids at home, that's kind of a low thing. And they highlight the importance of a career. Well, can I tell you what? In Scripture, you don't see that. You see, there's an honoring for the woman who takes care of children and takes care of that home. There is an honor there. And that is a very important duty. They used to teach the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And there's some truth to that. There's some truth there. And can I say, a lady who's a homemaker, housewife, taking care of her home, her family, you are important. Amen. Amen. Now, certainly God understands if you have to work. You have to work a job. We live in a monetary society. It takes money to live. You know, that's practical. And God understands that. But there certainly should not, a Christian should not allow the world to influence our thinking when it comes to a woman being a homemaker and a mother. That is a very high and wonderful thing. Amen. Amen. And as a husband, I want to facilitate my wife to be that homemaker in our house. And that means I work and work a little bit extra so that she can provide that place where she can prepare out. That, I believe, is a wise thing. Amen. In life. I think sometimes the career mentality that we have in this world, how children get lost in the fray. And principles of the home and the family get left off. And children grow up without principles in their life because maybe a wife is chosen to have a career over a homemaking life. And I think oftentimes it could be a detriment to a family. You say, Pastor, you're just old-fashioned. Well, I think there was a lot of wisdom in the old-fashioned day. Amen. And they may not have had computers and cars like we do today and cell phones, but I'll tell you what, they had a lot of principles in their life that were for good. So just to mention that. Now, notice, let's move on. Notice verse 3, that wisdom cries and gives an invitation. Notice verse 3, she has sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. And the idea here is that wisdom goes to everyone. It proclaims its invitation to everyone. Wisdom is inviting. Wisdom is, hey, come to me. I have something good for you. And this is why wisdom is hospitable. This is why wisdom is preparatory. She prepares so that she can invite others in, so that they can taste of her goodness. And notice who she recommends to come. Verse 4, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. Now, again, let me define that word simple. We talked about it, but simple is this person that he's kind of hanging in the balance. He has not yet chosen to be wise, but he's also not chosen to be foolish in his life. He could go either direction depending on where his choices and his influences lead him. He could go either way. I mean, a simple person could veer off and become an ungodly person. A simple person could be influenced by God and turn a better life, a godly life. But this is what this simple person is. They are at a place where they need the right influence and the right encouragement and the right people in their life to steer them in the wisdom direction. And so that's why wisdom calls. And it says, come, verse 5, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. So there's an invitation to come to enjoy something satisfying and filling. Boy, wisdom is satisfying and filling. Amen. Wisdom is satisfying and filling. It's different between one of the differences between wisdom and sin is that sin seems to be enjoyable in the beginning and brings a whole lot of regret afterward. Wisdom, on the other hand, may be a little difficult to follow in the beginning, but it produces happiness and fulfillment and joy after that. That's the difference. And some people are stuck in that immediate joy. Oh, they got to have immediate joy, immediate happiness. Forget that. If it glitters too much, it could be fool's gold. But wisdom is the choice we ought to make in everything we do, because the preemptive decision of wisdom is not, I do what I feel like. It is stopping and saying, I want to make a fulfilling and a satisfying choice. Come, wisdom says, eat of my bread. Take of me. I have something nourishing for you. I love that principle. I love that idea. And so here to the simple, those that could make choice, they need to find out what's really satisfying and joyful in life. Amen? They need to find the Lord in their life. God is the one that brings the joy and the peace and the real fulfillment of our life. When before you meet the Lord, all we know is sin, and you know, all we know is living that way. And it didn't bring us satisfaction. But when you meet the Lord and you live for Him, you realize there is an internal fulfillment that God gives in each one of our lives. And we as simple people have to choose that wisdom direction in our life. And we'll see God's blessings. We'll see the satisfaction come forth. So wisdom has an invitation. Come, come, it says. Come, partake of me. And taste of me. You know, the Lord even mentioned that. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Think of that. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I preached a sermon on that one time years ago, and I had my wife bake some biscuits, and I had her put some gravel in the biscuits. She thought I was crazy, but that's beside the point. And I said, now, come here and taste one of these biscuits. And one of the kids, when he bit down, I cautioned him so he wouldn't swallow the gravel. Right? Sin is kind of like that. Sin has this appearance where it's good, but when you put it in your mouth, it gives a taste of gravel. But wisdom is not like that. Wisdom's invitation is to give you something satisfying, genuine, heart fulfilling, and it gives you this understanding that Boy, if I walk in this path, my life is going to be joyful and happy. You know, there's too many unhappy people in the world. Too many unhappy people in the world. God offers fulfillment and joy. And so wisdom is a choice. But God doesn't force us to choose wisdom, does he? Has God ever forced you to do anything? Think of that for a minute. Has God ever forced us to do anything? No. He may convict us, right? He may speak to us through his word, through his spirit. But God doesn't force us. We have to be wise to make these choices on our own. And if we will, we'll see God's blessings in our life. So, come eat of my bread. Now, notice verse number 6. He says, forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Now, in order to live a wise life, in order for wisdom's fulfillment to come in, there are some things we have to forsake. We have to forsake. Now, one of the biggest difficulties that is in our world today is this thing of addictions. Addictions. Boy, the devil is crafty with addictions. Because addictions seem to give this initial happiness, but they also bring regret afterwards. I've never heard anybody with an addiction say, boy, I'm so happy with my addiction. Yeah. I've never heard anybody, but I've heard a lot of people want out of that addiction. Yeah. Right. And the devil's trap in it is not only that he lures us into these addictions by making us think that they're pleasurable, but he also uses the addiction to hold us in that place where we don't choose wisdom. Because addictions are very grasping. They hold on to us. Well, the devil is very shrewd with addictions today. And let me tell you the best way to avoid addictions is never start the first one. That's the best way. Be wise in your initial choices, right? Be wise. Where is this thing going to lead me? What is this going to bring me to? I think we fail to see oftentimes where something will lead us. And it's too late when we're finally chained to it. It's too late. And then there's a lifelong struggle with that. So wisdom says preemptively. Wisdom's preemptive. Do you know that? Wisdom says, all right, here at the start, nope. Not doing that. I'm not going there. I just think I'm holding off. I'm going to go a different direction. Now that is wisdom. That is what wisdom says. And if we can hear that voice, if we can hear that voice of wisdom, it will make our lives fulfilled and blessed. That's what God offers us, fulfillment. Amen? So wisdom here says that we have to forsake some things in life. We have to take some things. Foolish things in our life bring us brokenness, regret. They bring us fear. They bring us hurt. They bring us broken relationships, broken friendships, and they lead to hopelessness. And so this is why wisdom is such a powerful choice. Because when we choose wisdom, we're saying, God, you have something fulfilling for me in my life. I can be fulfilled in what you have for me. I don't need the foolishness of the world. You know, and many times we're duped. We think that the world offers us something good. And what the world offers is a temporary satisfaction, an impulsive satisfaction. But that's so much different than what God offers. God offers peace without the regret, without the pain. Joy without the broken relationships. Joy without the heartaches and the regrets afterwards. That is what God gives us. We have to be wise enough to choose it. Because God's not going to force us to do anything. But he will tell us, hey, if you go on my path, I've got this fulfillment for you in life. Somebody asked me one time and said, isn't it hard being a preacher? That's what somebody asked me. Listen, I'm fulfilling what God called me to do. And I wake up every day with this fact of fulfillment because of that. Now, God doesn't call everybody to everything, but the thought process is the same. Whatever God wants me to do, if I'll be wise enough to follow that, God will bless that. And I'll live a fulfilled life. I'm going to be joyful every day. And so that's the difference between wisdom and what the world can offer. You know, wisdom is important in our life. Notice now, the Bible talks here about somebody else there. He introduces what's called a scorner in verse 8. Now, look at verse 8. It says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. We're in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8, by the way. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Now, think about this. What does the word scoffer mean? The word scorner is the word scoffer. It means somebody who looks at wisdom and laughs at it. It's detestable to them. It's just like smelling the garbage to them. They can't handle wisdom. They have to laugh at it. They have to scorn at it. And it's because they're trapped in this mentality that thinks that their life and their way, whatever they hold dear in life, is the pinnacle of fulfillment. But it's not. So the scorner, he scoffs. You know, there are people that scoff at you and I going to church today. There are people who think it's ridiculous to serve the Lord. There are people who think it's crazy. Why would you waste your time? Why would you waste your life? I'm not wasting my life. My life is fulfilled. Amen. There is something great and joyful, exciting in my heart every single day of life. And it can be that way for every Christian. And God desires for us to have it. But we have to choose wisdom. And this scoffer here who laughs at wisdom, notice what God says. It says, verse 7, he that rebuketh a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth to himself a blot. Now notice there's wisdom in not even giving a scorner something. That's interesting, isn't it? God says, don't rebuke or reprove a scorner. The word reprove means instruct. Don't instruct a scorner because he'll just laugh at it. He'll just make fun of it. So here's what I thought. How does God deal with somebody who scoffs at the Bible? Well, they don't accept reproof, do they? And they're certainly not going to hear the Bible. So how does God deal with them? He deals with them in that still, small voice. He goes to them in the midnight hours. And his voice begins to speak to them. And, you know, God is always trying to draw men to himself. And this, and by the way, even the scoffer, this may seem hard to understand, but even the one who scoffs God, he loves. That is how amazing our God is. Those who hate him, he still died on the cross for them. He was beaten and shed his blood even for those who despise his name. Now, don't tell me he wasn't God. Because somebody who wasn't God wouldn't have done that. So I'm saying here that wisdom here is this principle in life that even a scorner can follow. And you know what? Sometimes it's best just to leave a scorner or a God hater on their own and let God deal with them. Bible principle. I would like to see every scorner convinced of the goodness of God and the reality of God in their life. And I think we should do our best to present truth to all men. But there are some who just are not going to receive it and hate it and despise it. And that's sad. That's sad because God offers the same fulfillment to even the God-hater and the scoffer. All right, so wisdom here talks about it. Now, he talks also about the benefit of wisdom. And he talks about it here in verse number 9. Notice, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Now, the Bible's teaching us here, if you teach something to a wise man, he will like that truth. He'll receive it. You know, there's some things I don't know. You say, if I don't know how to do something, you know what I do? I do the same thing you do. Go to YouTube, right? Yep. Plug in what I need to do. Amen. How to fix a broken pipe. Boom, you hit it. And there's 8,000 guys on there, and they all want you to subscribe, right? Yeah. They all want you to subscribe, you know? And you go there, and you learn how to do something. And isn't learning a great thing because the lights come on? The lights come on. When somebody teaches you, oh, I didn't know how to do that. Now I know how to do that. Or I didn't understand something previous, but when it's taught to me and it's explained to me, the lights come on. It brings this satisfaction to us that truth is powerful and relevant in our life. It sounds forth this sound when wisdom speaks of knowledge. And you ask a wise man, have you ever done anything the wrong way before? You ever fixed a pipe the wrong way? Now, I know none of you have or have done that, but I have. Fix it the wrong way. And somebody come back and look at it and says, you didn't do that right. Now, notice what it says about a wise man. It says a wise man will receive this instruction and he'll become wiser. In other words, he does not get offended when somebody who knows something that he doesn't instructs him. He looks at it as, oh, I get it now. I see how to do that. And you know, nobody knows everything. Amen. Nobody knows everything. There are still, listen, when I'm 80 years old, I still need to learn more. Because we don't know everything. And life is about a pursuit of learning good things. And it gives us a life of knowledge. And the knowledge can help us in the wisdom of life. The knowledge. So if we're wise, we hear these things that help us, and we don't get offended. We don't get bothered. We say, oh, a wise man will hear and increase learning. He becomes wiser. And you know, when I was 18 years old, I knew 10 times more than I know today. Right? At least I thought I did. How many of you are like that? I won't look. Okay. How many are the same way? Okay. All right. I see that hand. But you know what's amazing? As you go on in life and you enter different avenues and different things, you realize, oh, I didn't know that. And it's not wrong to not know certain things. It's wrong to reject the wisdom of understanding that I need to learn more and more and more. I think knowledge should be like a sponge. We should have like a sponge that wants to know. And there is no greater knowledge in this world that can give us greater fulfillment than the Word of God, than the Bible. The Bible is that knowledge. Well, I must hurry here. He then talks about how wisdom is beneficial to us. Verse 11. Excuse me. Actually, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, that's first base. That's what he's saying. If you want to be wise, you got to get to first base. Right? If you want to make a home run, first base is the fear of the Lord. It's understanding that God is the great possessor of all wisdom. In God, we find our wisdom. That's first base. If you make it to first base, that's a platform by which we can run all the bases and make it home. And so it begins with the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord is not saying, God, I'm afraid of you. It's not you hide under the table in fear that God's going to send a lightning bolt. It is this godly respect that acknowledges God as preeminent in my life and in my heart. And, you know, Paul said it best when he said simply, he said it in a simple way, he must increase and I must decrease. He made God preeminent in his life. He took God and said, Lord, I want to lift you up. I want to honor you in life. Boy, so much wisdom in that. That is a watershed of blessings that just pour down into our lives. When we acknowledge God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It can't start anywhere else. And the knowledge of the holy, verse 10. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. You know, in our lives, we have to acknowledge God in everything. We acknowledge God. When things go wrong, maybe God allowed it for a reason. You never know. I was heading to St. Louis to the Bible handout conference this week, and I was driving my motorcycle. Oh, I love my motorcycle. I was on my bike, made it to Tulsa, and started feeling it wobble. And that's a bad idea. That's a bad feeling when you're going 75 miles an hour down the highway, and your motorcycle starts wobbling a little. So I just eased it over onto the shoulder, pulled out flat tire in the back. And I said, oh, brother. You know, you don't just have a spare sitting around on a motorcycle. So it's like, what do you do? So called a tow truck. Amen. Put that thing up there, went to three different places, finally found a place to get a tire. And boy, they saw me coming, didn't they? Ooh. Whew. Got that tire on, and I realized I was going to miss the conference. And I'm on my way home. Came back from Tulsa, and I said, Lord, I don't know why you didn't allow me to do that, but Lord, you have a purpose and you have a reason. You have a plan. And you know, when God's preeminent in your heart and your life, the things of life that normally would disappoint us, we transfer them into this understanding that God has a purpose for it. He has a plan. God knows what he's doing, even for all of us. And that acknowledgement, believe it or not, gives us peace. Because if we didn't have that knowledge, we'd live as if everything in life that didn't go our way was somehow a negative or a disappointment. We live with that spirit in our heart. But it's not that way. It is God governing the affairs of our life for his glory and for our good. Wisdom is to say, Lord, you lead my life, and I'll just grab onto you and hold on to you. And to do that, we have to relinquish a part of ourself that wants to control. But I found this, whenever I'm in control of my life, He's not. But whenever He is in control of my life, man, there's a joy and a peace and a fulfillment and an understanding that life is going to be okay with God, just hanging on to His hand. Amen? Amen. Life and peace, God's blessings come to this wisdom. And, you know, this does not mean that we don't have troubles and burdens and problems in life. We are. But it means that when we have God preeminent in our heart, that anytime we run across these trials and these troubles, there's a God that's going to take care, and He has a plan. He has a purpose. You know, if wisdom is about preparation, then God has prepared everything in our life. Think of that. Because God does always want the best for us. We have to seek that and want that and desire that in our life. Amen? All right, well, we will stop here for today. We're going to pick up verse 13 of this passage, and we'll look at the rest of the passage next week. Has it been a blessing to you? Are you getting anything? Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for that.